It's ironic, isn't it, that sometimes when we pray, we want to suggest to God what he should be doing. And it's not God opening his ears, but we opening our ears to hear God's urgings. And so today I invite you to reflect with me on the gospel reading. Whom shall we serve? To whom shall we give service? Who shall we serve? To whom shall we give service? Last Sunday, we reflected on the parables of the lost sheep and the lost coin, and you're probably thinking, that's a week ago. Nevertheless, it's important for us to do some connecting here. And you might recall that we were encouraged by the gospel message, which reminded us of a patient and loving God who gives us a second chance and continues to call us to faithful service. You might recall that we talked about the fact that our Lord takes the initiative to find us, that God forgives us and offers us a second chance. And in response to God's grace, we are encouraged to celebrate and give thanks when someone makes the commitment to the Christian life. But I'm sure that you'd agree with me that the Christian life is not a bed of roses. And so we are challenged each and every day in our walk with Christ. And today's gospel reading, Jesus uses another parable called the dishonest manager to convey a message about possessions and relationships. We heard from what was read by our subdeacon Maggie that the manager has been accused of mishandling his employer's business. And believing that he will be fired, he calls his employer's debtors and decreases the account, the amount that they owe. Apparently, the manager believes that they will help him out when he's out of a job and in need. Friends, we know that the use of money is quite complex, isn't it? But the use of money can tell us about one's values. And if we really want to know what we value, let's just look at our checkbook or our debit card, whatever we use. Because our use of money tells us about our values and about our approach to financial stewardship. So here are some thoughts to consider. Let us consider using all resources wisely because they belong to God. And we, in turn, are called to be faithful stewards, not owners, but temporary beneficiaries of God's grace. We also are aware that money can be used for good or for evil. So we must handle money carefully and purposefully. And thirdly, let us really give some serious thought to how we can use our material possessions for the common good and in the service of God to help people in need. We are reminded of the prudent use of resources in our current situation with rising inflation, the cost of living, and the additional stress for needy families. And I hope that you would agree that it is time to evaluate our stewardship practices in the church and elsewhere. So let us make good use of the current opportunities, not with the goal of getting something in return, but rather to follow the will of God in the unselfish use of our possessions. And that's a tall order, isn't it? I want to draw your attention, however, to one interpretation of this passage of Scripture. And this interpretation suggests that Jesus is not supporting the steward's dishonesty or shady business dealings, but Jesus is praising the man's prudence and insight. And this is what verse 8 of the reading tells us. And his master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. No, we should not misunderstand or misinterpret Jesus' appreciation of the unjust steward, because what is praised is certainly not his dishonesty. But what is worth noting is the steward's concern to ensure a secure future. For if the steward is so diligent in planning for his future on earth, we should all be more diligent in the stewardship of God's gifts, in promoting God's love, in promoting God's justice, and promoting God's mercy. It's human nature to be tempted at times to see the world through specific lenses. And in some contexts, however, using money to make friends is part of the culture, it's part of the traditions, and it's part of the social reality. And perhaps Jesus is telling his listeners that there could be useful lessons from the real world about business practices, including the creative and innovative use of resources. Lessons for the church. We know that we could all run the risk of having our material resources take first place in our lives, and acquiring possessions can become an obsession. I think in one way or other, we're probably all guilty to some extent. And just check around our homes and see how much of whatever we have. However, we can do a bit of self-monitoring by asking ourselves questions like, do we give up what we should do or would like to do to make more money? Do we spend a great deal of time caring for our possessions? And I thought about that one and wondered, what would I say to my wife, who reminds me to cut the grass and trim the hedges? Should I say, you know what? I don't want to spend too much time caring for things like that. I think that would be a bit facetious, wouldn't it be? So they are extremes. But the third question for us to seriously consider, is it hard for us to give money away? Is it hard for us to go on pre-authorized giving? Is it difficult for us to return to God a portion of our financial blessings for the work of the church? These are tough questions, aren't they? But we need to assess our own situation and ask ourselves, how do we rate? How do we rate? Tough questions. On a practical note, however, I suggest that these questions help us to reflect on whether there's a good balance in our lives and prudence with material possessions. For we know that material wealth can disappear overnight. And many studies and examples reveal that people are not necessarily happier solely because of our possessions. It is clear that no amount of money can bring what matters most to most people, like health, like happiness. And for those of us who believe, money cannot bring us eternal life. So let us allow God to be our master so that we may have peace in our lives. Like me, you might find it extremely difficult to really figure out what Jesus is really saying to his disciples because of the mixed messages. The manager in the parable is desperate to do something to cover up his negligence, but to further mishandle the situation with attempts to get favors if he's fired, is certainly unacceptable. I heard an interpretation of this passage which resonated with me, and I want to share it with you. For the explanation is that this dishonest manager was described as a prodigal steward, a prodigal steward. And you will notice that today's gospel reading comes immediately following a favorite parable called the prodigal son. And I believe that this could help us to understand the parable of the prodigal steward. In summary, and we don't want to be condescending here because most people are familiar with the parable of the prodigal son, but just in summary, the prodigal son is about a dad, the head of a household. He has money, and his son asks for his inheritance. So the son is given some of the possessions. And what does the son do with that inheritance? Luke tells us that he squandered it. Then, having wasted what had been entrusted to him, he returned home with the head of the household. His dad reacted in a way that surprised everyone. The dad forgave the boy, and there was a good ending for the squanderer of the resources. Similarly, in today's parable, it's a story of a head of a household, a master, who has some money. And he entrusts some of his wealth to his steward. And what does the steward do with the business? He misuses it. We can go into lots of details, but what we are looking at here are the similarities in these two parables. But the crucial point is the generosity of the head of the household, which reveals how God deals with us, how God deals with you, and how God deals with me. In both parables, Jesus is probably not asking us to focus mainly on the immoral behavior of the prodigal son or the dishonest manager. But Jesus probably wants us to focus on the head of the household and how God deals with us. So my friends, today we heard the story of a dishonest manager, the prodigal steward, who cheats his employer and is then praised for his creativity. It should be clear, however, that Jesus is not praising his dishonesty, but rather his foresight, his planning. For the steward used his current opportunities to prepare for the future. Likewise, Christians are urged to use God's gift for a lasting spiritual benefit. And we are reminded today that we cannot serve God and wealth. We cannot. So let us choose whom we will serve and focus on what promotes God's reign of love, God's reign of justice, and God's reign of mercy. For through God's generosity, we are given everything that we need to do his work. And to this we say, thanks be to God. Amen. So let us now close with a quick prayer. O God, when it is appropriate, help us to listen to the wisdom of the world and integrate it into the life of our church, that we in turn would let our light shine where there is darkness. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.